Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? This is the text. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many times have you heard that in your life? We heard it twice just in our scripture readings this morning. That's a phrase from the Word of God that even the most crass pagans will be familiar with. Even the most vocal haters of Christ's church will say that this teaching is good for society. But they have no idea what the words truly mean or demand. Have you ever really contemplated the demand of God's law? Love your neighbor the same as you love yourself. Being back in Mellon this last, week ago, I was thinking about this. Now, there in Mellon, the church is up on top of the hill, and there's a small mountain to the north. To the wood, there's woods to the west. You can walk forever, and you will not run into civilization. To the east is the parking lot, and then it drops off down to the town. So the only home adjacent to ours was to the south. Ed lived there. Ed still lives there. I was walking up to the church, and there he was. More amazingly, his 1983 Brown Caprice Classic, which 10 years ago could barely run, was still there in his driveway. I don't know if it was still operating, but it was there. Ed was a unique neighbor. Ed was willingly unemployed. Yet he could never find the time to mow his lawn until the city would force him to do it once a year. And we had this to look at throughout all of the summer. It's one great thing about having 100 to 200 inches of snow is that it covers up a lot. Makes the neighborhood look better, if you know what I mean. I was in Ed's house one time, and there were stacks of empty beer boxes there in the kitchen. There was fuzzy green stuff growing in the sink. I'm not exaggerating. And there was no way I was going to spend more time there than I had to. I'd gone over there, you know, to be a good neighbor, introduce myself. After all, I was the new pastor in town. But my sinfulness manifested itself very quickly. I do not love my neighbor as myself. And I got out of there, and in the 8.5 years I lived there, I never set foot in his house again. And when my sink is dirty, well, I clean my sink. Or in my sinfulness, I make a subtle suggestion to Melinda, asking her, hey, do you think the sink needs to be cleaned? I did not go over to Ed's house and clean his sink. I didn't even send Melinda to do it. I do not love my neighbor as myself. I know that Ed is an extreme case. But then, if I want to justify myself, I can ask, who is my neighbor? We like to help our neighbors and be of service to them. It makes us feel good. If a tree falls on your neighbor's house, perhaps you go and help him cut up the wood. Perhaps you provide food or shelter for the family. However, pulling out your checkbook and paying for the damage, or even paying for the insurance deductible, probably doesn't happen. The demands of the law are impossible to maintain. You cannot keep it. You cannot do enough to inherit eternal life. And maybe you help a neighbor by going above and beyond the call of duty, doing what is, you know, more than what is expected. Maybe in a proverbial sense, you have gone and cleaned Ed's sink. Did you clean any other porcelain plumbing products when you were over there at the house? As often as you clean your own? That's what the law demands. Love your neighbor the same as you love yourself. It is an impossible standard. You are not inheriting eternal life by what you do. You are not good and righteous in the eyes of the law. God's law can only be overcome by God's Son. You are saved by grace alone. Your sin is covered by the blood of the Son of God. There is no other way that you can inherit eternal life. This doesn't mean that how you treat your neighbor doesn't matter. It just means that you don't punch your ticket to heaven by being a good person in the eyes of society. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus says that if you give even a cup of cold water to someone because of the relationship that you have with God, if your motivation is from the Holy Spirit to do something even as simple as giving a cup of cold water, Jesus says God views this as a great and meaningful work within His kingdom. Being a good neighbor, it is important. It's a demonstration, a response to all that God has done for you. It's a pale reflection of the love that He has shown. And you say, well, how can I call myself good in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God's law, when I don't love my neighbor the same as I love myself? Well, you will never be good in the eyes of God's law. The law is meant to condemn you. You are good and righteous in the eyes of God because you are covered with the righteousness of Christ. Because only the Son of God could fulfill what the law demands. And we haven't even talked about the more important side of the summary of God's law that we hear in our gospel reading. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. With all your mind, every thought, every desire of your heart is to focus on the Lord your God and what He has done for you. Every thought should cause you to ask the question, is what I am doing right now furthering the kingdom of God, furthering the gospel, or is this a stumbling block? Every thought. My girls get mad at me when we're watching TV or a movie or something, and I call into question the theological integrity of the show. And they always say, oh, do you have to ruin everything? It's like, if only I could. But every thought is to be concerning, is this furthering the kingdom of God? That's what the law demands. And I look at myself and I look at my life and I think of my day, and it is right that we gather and confess, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I have sinned in thought, word, and deed by what I have done and by what I have left undone. And we gather and we confess the fullness of our sin, but then the joy of hearing the forgiveness of the absolution, to hear the forgiveness that Christ has brought to each of us, to hear and be reminded of the grace of our baptism. There is no blessing like the grace of God. We marvel at the compassion that the Good Samaritan had for the man along the roadside. Samaritans and Jews, they hated each other. They were mortal enemies. They absolutely despised and avoided one another. The first thing the Samaritan had to do was forgive. Then he bound up the wounds and placed him on his own animal, cared for him in the inn, and paid for all the expenses. That is the level of care that we would have to offer to all of our neighbors. Not just our close friends, but the eds of the world. Yet the love shown by the Good Samaritan, it pales in comparison to the love that God the Father has shown to you. You were born in the total corruption of your sin. St. Paul says the sinful mind is hostile to God. Our sinful mind hates God. We were born blind, dead, enemies of God. Yet He loved you. He loved you from eternity. Before you were born, He knew your name, and He has called you His own. We have failed in keeping His law. The Son of God did not fail. The Son of God has carried your burden for you, has taken away your sin. Yes, you and I have broken all of God's law. In the beginning, before the grace of God was upon us, we had no chance to make things right. We had no chance for eternal life. We don't deserve it. There is nothing in us that says, hey, I should be one of God's people. All that we have is an act of grace and compassion from our Father in heaven. God the Father sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to fulfill the law and suffer and die, to pay the penalty for your sin, to pay the penalty of what the law demands, because the law says that the wages of sin is death. And God the Father chose to place His Son between you and the law. There is no blessing like the grace of God. In thanks for His grace, love your neighbor, that they may see your good deeds and join you in praising your Father in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.